Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on QR Calgary and More Than Money. An interesting conversation about estates. But you know what? People are this has been a difficult month for markets, right? So let's talk about the here and now.
Can I keep the theme going?
Yeah.
We talked about, is it a gift or is it a loan? Let's use that same terminology for what's happening in the markets. The attention right now is on this, at least one of them, is the 10-year treasury in the United States.
Yep.
With everything that's going on, is that interest rate gonna go up to 5.5%? We're hearing a lot of people talk about that. And some are saying, is it a loan, meaning you're gonna borrow against future returns, or is it a gift because look what's happening, the future will look better, here's an opportunity. So is it a gift or is it a loan? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's a gift or a loan. So it's a cycle, I'll call it that. I'm not sure how to maybe classify it otherwise. So, you know, at this point in the cycle, clearly the bond markets are just trying to figure out where they have to be given what where the economy is and what the Fed's done. Okay, and so we get volatility in the stock markets and in the bond markets, but you're seeing a lot of volatility this month, as an example, in the stock markets, because I would say the bond markets haven't yet quite settled into where they think that, you know, that terminal rate needs to be or where they need to end. But we are getting close, right? Here's the thing. We know that the Fed paused on its last decision to raise rates, right?
Correct.
And then, you know, people were confused because then the 10-year treasury is moving up, right? Remember, the Fed doesn't control what the 10-year does. They control the overnight rate. And so all these things have to settle in line. But what we do know is that we're getting very close once the Fed pauses. Okay, historically, if you do the research, we're getting very close to that period where rates peak, then they start to move down. And that becomes an attractive environment for both the stock and the bond market.
There's three schools of thought are happening right now in the market. They're all pulling in different directions. When will the Fed cut interest rates?
Right.
And you notice we're not talking about the Bank of Canada because in the larger scale of the world, Canada doesn't matter.
Right.
But let's just focus on the U.S. When will the Fed cut rates? The market was assuming sooner rather than later. The September pause that the Federal Reserve did also allowed the individual members of the committee to disclose their expectations in the future. And the expectation of the future was longer, higher rates.
Right.
Now the debate on the other side of the when are they going to cut is it higher for longer or is it just high for longer? Those
right.
are two different pieces
right.
now. And when we start to dissect those two different pieces, if it's higher for longer, watch the market react heavily.
Right.
And part of that was what happened in September.
Right.
If it's high for longer, watch a reassessment of what's happening in the markets, where they start looking at, well, if it's gonna be high for longer, what companies, what sectors are the places to be?
Right.
And you're gonna start getting a big movement. And don't forget, volume is below its average right now. By
you're
20%.
Talking trading volume.
Though. Trading volume.
Yeah.
So that means less people in the market trading, which means there's going to be a bigger expansion of volatility mm-hmm. because of that.
Yeah.
So if I look at, is this a gift or is this a loan? This is a gift longer term, but we are borrowing on the short-term rate of returns to handle this volatility. So it's
yeah.
a loan as well.
Yeah, and so if I go back to my cycle comment too, I think you're right. People need to understand it's got to stabilize before rate cuts, right? So we're in this period where things have moved up, stabilize, then we'll see rate cuts. That happens every time, right? That's just part of the normal cycle. The timing is always the questionable piece of this.
So I'm gonna put you on the spot. We have a debate about this stuff all the time. We were in our committee, our investment committee meeting Thursday, I think it was, and we were debating. You and I were debating about what's going to happen in the reaction of all this stuff that's going on.
Right.
The reaction that an individual retail investor
yep.
may have
yep.
is, I don't want to deal with this volatility. Cash me out of my portfolio and let's buy GICs.
Right.
What are your thoughts about people cashing out and buying GICs?
Yeah, so I'm going to try to address that maybe in a couple of different ways. As you ask the question, I think the first thing that people have to go back to is what the strategy is, okay? So we always talk about structure and discipline. And this is no different. So we've had a lot of volatility in September. It will be tempting for people, particularly with GICs paying 5%,
yep,
to do that. But if somebody were to make a change out of, say, equities and go into GICs, what you've done is you've fundamentally changed a strategy. Okay? So what I say about GICs always is they're a great financial tool, but you've got to match it. You've got to match the tool to the outcome that you're trying to accomplish, right? And so I would always object to somebody saying, I'm going to fundamentally change everything over here and I'm going to go into one asset class over here. Okay? Doesn't matter if it's going to GIC or it's going from GIC to all equity at some point in the future. I think that you're making some very rash changes, and in the absence of a real reason to change the strategy that way, okay, I think it's a mistake. Now, the tempting aspect, so that's the strategy perspective. Are there elements or could there be reasons why maybe you want a portion of the portfolio to be short-term protected and so on and so forth? Cool. Now we start to match up the financial product strategy with what you're trying to do. The problem I see coming is we're getting close to the end of that cycle. And if you do your research, what you're going to see is there is going to be, cash is not going to be king for very much longer. And when that change happens, say something like the bond market, forget about the stock markets even, the bond market is going to have a much more attractive total return opportunity than locking into a GIC. And so if you take that step of locking in for a 1 or a 2 or a 3 or a 5 year period, okay, the further you go out, the more I can assure you, you're going to miss that recovery and all of those gains are going to be left on the table. So you need to be very, very careful at this point.
Here's one thing that I want people to understand when it comes to looking at your options. When you are looking at a GIC and you're afraid, have concern about what's happening in the markets, you have no real clarity about what's happening in the economy, yeah, and you want to harbor or protect your capital. What I think people need to look at is it's more than just GIC versus stock,
yeah,
or GIC versus bond.
Right.
What I'm suggesting people to explore and really investigate their options is what we call credit, not just GIC and bond. Those are not the only two tools in the tool belt. Credit can be principal protected, can be structured in a way to provide you similar type of returns as GICs, but gives you more flexibility to look at options that can also give you that upside,
right,
beyond. So what I'm suggesting people to look at is do not assume there are only four things you can invest in: stocks, cash, bonds, and GICs.
Right.
There's credit. There's different types of credit out there. Mm-hmm. And I think people need to educate themselves. This is the time. When is the last time you heard me talk about credit like this, right?
Yeah, I know. It's exciting.
Right? It is exciting because we're getting the opportunity of stock market-like returns,
yeah,
in the credit market, which we haven't seen for a decade at least.
Right.
So here comes the time that you can actually make good money without taking an exorbitant amount of risk like the stock market.
You bet.
If we call stock market risk exorbitant.
Yeah.
So just let's open up the conversations now of let's talk credit for protection, but also credit for opportunity.
Absolutely.
in the same breath. This is the rare spot in time we're at. I think people need to do their homework.
And we're going to talk about that at our upcoming seminar as part of the presentation, the framework.
It is huge to mitigate risk and look for opportunity. And we're going to talk about that on Tuesday, November 7th, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House. And you need to reserve your seats. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of More Than Money on QR Calgary. On behalf of Faisal, myself, Dave, and the rest of the team, we look forward to chatting with you next week.
David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.